Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with the deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Genesis, 22nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We shall read Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9, responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, not let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgression. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right, and teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. No man's lamb. Where is a sacrifice? One might expect a young boy to ask that kind of question. Where is the sacrifice? Trudging along with his father for 3 days to the place God told him to go, his dad ought to have what they would need when they got there. Where is the sacrifice? He kept asking. That question is in today's first lesson, perhaps the most beautifully written, the most fascinating, the most moving story in the book of Genesis. This account of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac has been told and retold through the centuries in pageants and preaching and paintings. And the place it is said to have happened is today one of the most treasured religious sites in the whole world. Jews and Muslims and Christians hallow that rock to which Abraham is said to have been willing to sacrifice his son. The Muslims, in fact, have built a mosque over it, easily the most recognizable building in the city of Jerusalem, aptly called the Dome of the Rock. What does this story mean for us? A very recent book, cited not long ago in Time magazine, is entitled Abraham. In it, the writer says that since Jews and Muslims and Christians all honor this patriarch, that should be the basis for them to get along, to relate to each other. Not all interpret this story and others in the same way. Some see here primarily an indication of great faith. And it is that. Abraham having enough faith in God to be willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. That's faith. Others see a protest against child sacrifice, which was being practiced at that time. And so they see in it something about not abusing or misusing children. We Christians see in it a different and a deeper meaning. For us, the Bible is the Word of God. And that doesn't mean that God dictated all the words in the Bible. God spoke to people who were inspired. And so we have these words, ordinary words, written on ordinary paper. But as we read them, the living Word, Jesus Christ, stands before us. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible points us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. These are not simply isolated stories of bygone events. Always here in the Bible is the message of salvation in God's Son. And that's especially true in this account of Abraham being willing to sacrifice his son. We see there something of the Father God willing to sacrifice his son for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear then this story, not simply as a colorful account of something that happened thousands of years ago. Today, this morning, hear the good news, the gospel of God in Jesus Christ, speaking directly to you and to me. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia. The word means a land of two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And as you know, the Tigris River now runs through Baghdad, the capital of Iraq. It was called Chaldea then, and Abram lived in a place called Ur. People were worshiping all kinds of gods, On, the god of heaven, and Shagar, the bull god. And then the god Yahweh, Jehovah, spoke to Abraham. Now, no one knew whether this was a true god or not, whether he was dependable, whether he could be trusted. The only way anyone would ever know would be if someone gave him a try. And that someone was Abraham. God told him, he was called Abram then, God told him to go to a land that would be flowing with milk and honey. And the Bible said Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith, trusting God to that extent. And God was as good as his word. He proved that he is the true God. He led Abram up through Haran and down into the promised land. And there God said, your name will no longer be called Abram, but Abraham, the father of many nations. And you're going to have a son. Now, Abraham and Sarah decided if a son were born, they'd name him Isaac, which means he laughed because the whole idea sounded so ridiculous. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. How could they have a son? But God had the last laugh. Isaac was born. God was as good as his word. Now Abraham and Sarah and Isaac are living in what is now the area of Hebron, considerably south of Jerusalem. Canaanites were all around, and they were sacrificing their children to the god Moloch. They had a place called Topheth, which means fire pit, where they would tie their children to large rocks, kill them, and burn them as an offering to Moloch. Abraham saw this and was challenged by it. Did they love their god Moloch more than he loved Yahweh? Was their faith greater than his faith? Thinking like that, he decided that what God wanted him to do was to sacrifice his son Isaac. It's easy for us to come to the conclusion that what we think is what God wants. Early one morning, Abraham took his son Isaac, a donkey, two servants, coals for fire, a knife for rope, and they set out, the Bible says, to the place God told them to go. And that place would later be called Mount Zion, and the city of Jerusalem would be built on the mount. They traveled along, they gathered wood and put it on the donkey. When they got close to the summit, Abraham told his servants to wait there while he and his son went to worship. And there's that interesting phrase, Abraham and Isaac walking together. And the son saying, where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. Knowing himself what he would do, he would kill his son and offer him as a sacrifice to God. They found the rock, the large rock. And when there was an opportunity, Abraham bound his son, put the wood on the rock and his son on top of the wood. And then with perspiration running down his face, he got the knife. Went over, leaned over the body of that terrified boy, raised the lethal weapon and started downward to thrust it into this young body. When God's angel said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Don't kill your son Isaac. That's not what I want. What you think you are doing is the right thing is not what I desire. Don't kill Isaac. Breathing a sigh of relief, Abraham dropped the knife and then picked it up again and cut the bonds that he had used to tie his son. Begged for forgiveness, hugged him, and knew that God didn't want him to sacrifice his son. Then he was startled by a noise. He thought that he and Isaac were the only ones there. He turned around, and there caught in a thicket was a young ram, a male lamb. And now he knew that God was providing the sacrifice, not man's lamb, but God's. He named the place Moriah, which means the Lord will provide. What a message in this for us as we come to this first Sunday in Lent. For here we see something of the Father God sacrificing his Son Jesus Christ on a cross for you, for me, stretched out there for us, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. We live with so many false gods around us. People worshiping them, power and money and sex and wealth and pursuit of happiness, all of these things for which people give themselves, sacrificing their lives, their families, their faith, their children, giving all of these things for these false gods. And you and I contentedly say we're not like that. You know, we have a true God. We give ourselves to him. We sacrifice for him. We earn our brownie points by going to church and giving money and being honest and doing all of these things to please God, to be right with God. Listen, did you hear that noise? It seemed to come down from the cross the first time I heard it. A God-man in the throes of crucifixion saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's not what they do that saves, that makes the difference. It's what God does, providing the sacrifice, providing the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some years ago, Mary and I were in Southeast Asia on a bus. The tour guide directed our attention to the right side and said, there is the River Kwai. Well, some of us thought of that movie, The Bridge Over the River Kwai. Somebody started to whistle, how did it go? Da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da. And soon everybody was humming or whistling. Less well known is Gordon's book, Through the Valley of the Kwai. He tells about an American prisoner, and he's on a work detail, and at the end of the day, they gather up their tools and so forth to go back to the camp. The Japanese guard says a shovel is missing. Someone has stolen a shovel to sell it to the Thai. He's bringing dishonor to the emperor. Who did that? No one speaks. The Japanese guard rants and raves, and finally he lines all of them up. He said, all die. All die. And then, to indicate that he meant what he was saying, he pulled back the bolt of his rifle and lifted it to his shoulder. And Argyle stepped forward. Argyle said, I did it. I stole the shovel. All that pent-up fury of the guard was poured out on Argyle, kicked and hit, the blood down his face, and then beat over the head with the butt of the rifle. He sank to the ground where he was pummeled and kicked and until everybody knew that he was dead. The guard stopped when he was exhausted. The men gathered up the body of their comrade and their tools and went back to camp. And they put the tools into the shed. And as they did so, they discovered no shovel was missing. None was gone. And now they knew that Argyle had stepped forward, giving his life so that they might live. God in Jesus Christ, giving his life so that you and I might live with abundant life here and eternal life forever. And so we read this ancient story of Abraham and Isaac, and immediately what floods into our hearts and minds and lives is this goodness of God who loved the whole world that he gave his only son. People talk about giving up things for Lent. What we need to give him is everything. Our lives, our hopes, our dreams and plans. All to Jesus I surrender. All my life to him I owe. Where is the sacrifice? Abraham answered rightly, saying, the land shall be called Moriah. The Lord shall provide. The hymn is 200.